Tininya i li sasrila baka malo the kone plawe pe meth. Mathe asodo lue sobo de siki de little sinui. Mathe asodo lue sobo de siki de little sinui. Do do ye shoot na hulo so yo ha. Loba le hobudo. Hatawesu kali lalo. Do le the da nasare do le utu soele kapiro no abu. Owele poleni le kosubulo. Do ko na thali ahu. Dito we share a glini. Glue top wet ho. Wello siweda. Kosulu kosubulo. Do ko na thali. Le pole kle. Le ti yadi waba koni. Kalila bakada poa glitipa. Pogomule asinole taki clani tilita kopo paduli do poa sinole ta thi ako do akil du putpani ta kopo hetoli oli lene lili yishu site telota do siweda poya lo kiti tariki agidi muku abo amuni butoli welilo.
Our scripture is from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." January can be such a strange month. With the start of the new year, it feels like a time of new beginnings, and yet we keep looking back, too. It's the time when people make all those best of lists, you know, the best music of 2016, the best movies, the best books. And just last week, I wrote my annual report for church. Yes, I was late. And I had to pull out my 2016 calendar to remind myself of all the things that we did last year. And I was surprised at all the things that I had forgotten. But January is also a time when we look forward. It's a time when people make resolutions. Things that they want to do better in 2017 than they did in 2016. How many of you did this? Oh, not many resolution makers. Oh, okay. Now, for me, I make resolutions every year. It's like, this year, I'm gonna exercise. I am gonna stop procrastinating. I'm going to be more active in politics. I'm going to sleep more. I'm going to spend less time on the internet and more time with my husband, and on and on. We have such high hopes for ourselves. And yet we really can't see what's going to happen in 2017. It's all still so new. So January is kind of an in-between time, looking forward, looking back. I saw a little kid once, and he was standing in a doorway, and he would go, "I'm outside, I'm inside, I'm outside, I'm inside," back and forth from that doorway, in and out. And some people think that the month of January was named after the mythological god Janus, who had two faces, one looking forward and one looking back. So it seems appropriate that in our scripture today, it's kind of in an in-between place too. We see Jesus standing in a place between one part of his life and another, waiting for the right moment to move forward. And as we stand with him in that place, it gives us the opportunity to look backward at where Jesus has been before we look forward to where he's going. The first section of the Gospel of Matthew is sometimes called the presentation of Jesus. This can be thought of as Jesus the early years. It's an introduction to Jesus that shows us the things that happened in his early life and how that influences who he will become. But it also shows us the things that he had to do to prepare to become what he was going to be. In other words, in this section, we see where Jesus has come from in order to see where he's going. And Matthew starts his gospel by literally showing us where Jesus has come from with a complete genealogy, a list of his ancestors. And this is an amazing list of people. It includes kings and prostitutes, con men and foreigners, saints and sinners, familiar names, and people we've never heard of before. But they're all included here, just as later, Jesus would include so many different kinds of people in his ministry of hope and healing. And we also see this inclusion in the story of Jesus right after his birth, when he's visited by the wise men, Gentiles, non-Jews who came to Jerusalem looking for a newborn king. And of course, they went to Jerusalem because that's where they assumed a king would be born. And not surprisingly, King Herod wasn't at all happy about that idea of a new king. So even then, when Jesus was a baby, his story shows how the opposition and hatred that Jesus would face from the government and rulers of the time. Now, to escape that danger stirred up by the wise men who followed a bright star in the middle of Herod's darkness, Jesus and his family run away to Egypt for safety. So very early, Jesus learns what it's like to be a foreigner, an outsider, a refugee. And in his ministry, Jesus would always have special compassion for people who were outsiders, for foreigners, for refugees, for people who didn't quite fit in. And he encouraged people to be kind to the strangers in their midst. And now, at this point in Matthew, we jump ahead many years. But before we meet Jesus as an adult, we're first introduced to John the Baptist, who's in the wilderness proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, and prepare the way for the Lord." And he's talking about the one to come. And as if on cue, suddenly we see Jesus. No longer a baby, but a man, coming to John and asking to be baptized. And so Jesus is baptized, and the heavens open, and the Spirit of God comes down like a dove. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then that same Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness, where for 40 days he prays and fasts and is tempted. And it's in these things, in Jesus' baptism and his wilderness time, we can see the things he's doing that are necessary to prepare before his ministry begins. God has him do these things in preparation to be able to step into his ministry, to fulfill the promise of who he's meant to be. And it's there, at the end of that time in the wilderness, when Jesus has finished his preparation, where our scripture begins today. And in the few verses that we read today, we're reminded of what came before. It says, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee." John, who had preached in the wilderness, who spoke of preparing the way, and then baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. John has been arrested. Jesus has successfully come out of the time of testing and preparation in the wilderness, only to be faced with a grim reality. We aren't even told here why John has been arrested, but something about it seems ominous. It's only much later that we discover that John has been arrested by Herod. And while this isn't the same Herod from when Jesus was a baby, but one of his sons, it's still a name that brings an echo from the past and continues to cast a shadow over Jesus' story. So it says that after hearing this news, Jesus withdrew to Galilee. That word withdrew is interesting. To withdraw suggests to remove yourself from something, to pull back, to move away. To withdraw can even mean defeat, but it can also just mean a time to step back and think, to pull yourself out of a situation in order to reconsider and look at your options. Jesus came out of the wilderness prepared to begin his ministry, only to find out that John, the man who baptized him, has been arrested by Herod. That had to be kind of scary. The name of Herod was one that Jesus had heard spoken in scared whispers since he was a child. So Jesus withdraws to Galilee. As Matthew says, quoting Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." And it's an odd thing, but that name Naphtali, who was one of Jacob's sons, if you remember, means "my wrestling." And hearing that, I can't help but wonder if this wasn't a time of wrestling for Jesus. He's stepping into a dark time. John the Baptist, who came before him preaching a message of repentance and changed lives, John's been arrested. And in this time of withdrawal, of reconsidering, of wrestling, Jesus must have realized that if or when he started his ministry, the same dangers that faced John were going to face him. How easy it would have been to reconsider, to withdraw permanently, to a safe place, to not take the risk, to withdraw to a quiet life in Galilee, land of the Gentiles. But maybe in that land of the Gentiles, as Jesus withdrew in that time between the wilderness and what happened next, just maybe Jesus remembered the stories his mother told him about the wise men, the Gentiles who visited him as a baby, and the promise that they saw in him. Or maybe he remembered what it was like to be a refugee, someone who needed to be shown kindness and to hear good news, someone who needed to see a light in the darkness. And just like that little boy who stood in the doorway, I'm inside, I'm outside, Jesus stood in that place between his past and his future. And from that place, he stepped forward into the promise that the wise men saw when they followed the star. And as Matthew said, again quoting Isaiah, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And it says, from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Continuing the message of John, continuing as the one that John said would come who is greater than him, boldly stepping into his future. And so here we are in January, looking forward, looking back, making our resolutions about how we want to be better in 2017. We have such high hopes for ourselves. But we need to remember that God has high hopes for us too. Jesus' story is unique, and he had the most important role to play. But just as at Jesus' baptism, God called him the beloved, I truly believe that God calls each of us, every one of you, his beloved. So maybe instead of my own resolutions or your resolutions, maybe we need to ask, what is God asking us to do this year? Through your particular story, what happened in your past, who you are, how is God calling you forward into a bright future? Maybe there are things that are holding you back, or maybe there are things in your future, like in Jesus, that just seem too scary. Maybe you're paused in that doorway, unsure if you want to step through. So maybe it's that time to withdraw, to listen, to consider. How is God urging you into a future that may be risky, but beautiful? What promise does God see in you? What in your past has uniquely prepared you to be the person that God knows you can be? Imagine that still small voice of God urging you forward into your promise that God has imagined for you. To that moment where you can say, from that time forward, from that time on, your life was never the same. Amen.